Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may have noticed that your sermon outline is a little bit different today. It's in the form of a crossword puzzle because our sermon topic today is crosswords based on 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're focusing, like Paul did, on the cross of Jesus Christ, on Christ and Him crucified. The focus is on the cross, and I'm going to share with you five words which Paul shares with us in our epistle lesson today, which describe the power of the cross. So, you can fill in the crossword puzzle as we go along. Let's talk about five words from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. One, a cross, is wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:20 says, "Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" Now, wisdom is a good thing. It is a blessing from the Lord. The Lord wants us to be wise, but in the right way. James 1, verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." James 3, 17, a few chapters later, says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." Of course, the book of Proverbs is all about wisdom, starting with Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." So wisdom is normally a good thing, but what Paul is warning us about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is worldly wisdom, the conventional wisdom of this world. You see, worldly wisdom rejects the truth of the scriptures, and worldly wisdom rejects Jesus Christ. People say today, "You don't really believe that someone could be born of a virgin, do you? Or you don't really believe that Jesus did all those miracles, do you? I mean, no one can walk on water or heal people or raise the dead. Science tells us that's impossible." Or, "You don't really believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. I mean, that would just be impossible to even think about." Worldly wisdom rejects Jesus Christ and who he is, but it also rejects his teachings and his morals as well. When it comes to values and morals, the world teaches a different kind of system. Basically, it's summed up in, "Do what you want," or, "If it feels good, do it." See, the conventional wisdom of this world teaches you need to focus on yourself. You need to look out for number one. You need to get ahead, to do things for yourself, to think about your own needs, not the needs of God or other people. And let's not forget the wisdom of the world that so many people live and die by. Whoever dies with the most toys wins. You see, this world has rejected the wisdom of God and the wisdom of Scripture. It rejects who Jesus Christ is, and it rejects who he teaches, what he teaches. It puts in its place a wisdom that is self-centered, self-absorbed, and just plain selfish. The second word, two down, is power. It's talked about in 1 Corinthians 1:22. "For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified." That first part, Jews demand signs. The signs they're looking for are miraculous signs of power. Like wisdom, power is a good thing. Strength is a blessing from the Lord. The Lord wants his people to be strong in all the right ways, especially spiritually strong with the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. In fact, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "God gave us a spirit. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control." In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus promised his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And of course, Paul urges us in Ephesians 6, finally, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Ephesians 6, verse 10. So power is a good thing, but Paul is warning us against using power in the wrong ways. Talks about Jews demand signs. They want to see more miracles. That's what they think, this, you know, truly shows us who God is. They wanted to see more displays of God's glory. Now, Jesus did many miracles. As I said, he healed people. He walked on water. He multiplied food. He raised the dead. But the things he did, he never did for himself. He always used them to serve others. Now, that's not the way the world works. The world sees power as a means to a selfish end. Power is the means to get what you want when you want it. Power in the world is used only for selfish ambition or personal gain. You see, the world's all about survival of the fittest. It's all about kill or be killed. It's about getting power at all costs so that you can get what you want when you want it. You'll notice people will do almost anything to get power. People will lie, they will cheat, they will steal, they will even do the unthinkable. They will become a politician. They will compromise their morals, their integrity, their virtue in order to gain power. And sometimes they will sacrifice anything to get it. They will sacrifice their health, their time, or their family to gain the power that will enable them to do whatever it is they want to do. Or they can force people to serve them, whether they want to or not. Power is what this world is after. God does not want to seek after worldly power or worldly wisdom. In fact, Paul has an amazing statement. Number three is foolish. Three down is foolish. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. 1 Corinthians 1:25. Jesus Christ rejects the wisdom of this world and instead does that which looks foolish in the eyes of the world, even though it truly is wise. Jesus did not follow the conventional wisdom of the world. He did not look out for number one. He always put the needs of others above himself. He said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." Jesus is the Son of God in the flesh, who came down from heaven and did incredible miracles, walking on water, healing the sick, raising the dead. He did so many miracles, but he didn't do them for himself. He did them so that he might serve others. It's amazing to me that Jesus, the most powerful person who ever walked the earth, never used his power for himself. He always used it for the good of others. He always used his power to help others and to serve. He stands in opposition to the sinful wisdom of this world, which says, get other people to serve you. He taught his disciples and teaches us that true greatness is found in serving. Mark 10:44 says, whoever would be first among you must be servant of all. To follow Jesus means we need to reject the morals and wisdoms of this world, the conventional wisdom. Instead of looking up for number one, we, like Jesus, must learn to serve others the same way Jesus served us. Instead of looking out for opportunities to exalt ourselves, we need to look for opportunities to humble ourselves. Instead of trying to make ourselves look good, we should look for opportunities to make other people look good. Instead of always looking to talk and get our point across, we need to look for opportunities to listen and learn what others are thinking. We're called to be servants, just like Jesus was. For Galatians 5:13 says, you are called to freedom, brothers, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Number three is foolishness. Number four down is weakness. The foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. 1 Corinthians 1:25. Jesus is the Son of God in the flesh who came down from heaven and used his power to help and serve others in need. But the greatest achievement of Jesus was not any of the miracles he did. No, his greatest achievement was achieved through weakness. It was achieved by emptying himself and making himself nothing, giving himself up, submitting himself to sinful men, being obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. As Mark 10:45 says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. But the rest of that verse says, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus could have looked out for number one. Anytime he could have used his power to get himself out of the cross, Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus is the Lord of Sabbath. He tells his disciples in the garden, I could call down 12 legions of angels. And he could, because he is the Lord of Sabbath. He is the Lord of the heavenly hosts, the commander of the armies of the Lord. A legion is anywhere from 4,000 to 6,000 angels. So 12 legions would be 48 to 72,000 angels. One would have been more than enough. But Jesus didn't call down angels. He didn't call down fire from heaven. He didn't escape using the miraculous powers he could have used. No, Jesus surrendered. He gave himself up. He gave himself up for us all, giving his life to ransom us from the power of sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. You see, his weakness becomes our strength. His surrender becomes our victory. And his death becomes our life. Not just temporary life, but eternal life. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That is ours through Jesus Christ. His weakness becomes our strength, and his death becomes our life. Because he surrendered, we have won the victory over sin and death. That is the weakness and foolishness of God. But it is greater than the wisdom of men and greater than the power of men. You see, as 1 Corinthians 1 says, Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1, 22 to 24. And that, of course, is number 5, Christ. Our salvation does not depend on our wisdom. There's no IQ test to get into heaven. God's not going to give you a final exam to see how much you know about the Bible. Salvation is not based on our own wisdom, thankfully. And our salvation does not depend on our own power. It's not by our own effort, not by our own works, not by our own strength that we get to heaven. Heaven's not only open to those who've had success in life or achieved great things. In fact, there will be many who go to heaven that are considered foolish or weak by the world's standards. Because there is only one way to heaven. It's not by our own strength. It's not by might, not by power, not by our own wisdom. There's only one way to heaven. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and Christ the wisdom of God. Salvation is not based on our knowledge, our wisdom, or our power. It is based on Christ and on Christ alone. It is based on Christ, who is the wisdom of God, and Christ, who is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. There is only one way to heaven, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.